Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us once again. Kev, welcome back. We will get to some young goalies, but I want to talk. Mikko Koskinen will not play tonight, but as a guy who has worked with goalies for many years, you see him on the ice, and Markstrom might be an interesting one because you've seen him up close, and we saw, you know, big improvements from him after working on specific things in the offseason. We know that Dustin Schwartz with Koskinen, they were focused so much on footwork. I know, and you've explained it before, everybody's talked about, well, his glove hand, but his glove hand in a lot of times is due to bad footwork and bad position, so it forces the glove hand to get exposed a little bit more anyway. What are some realistic things when we watch Koskinen to see, okay, there's improvement, certain technical things?
Simply, set square. Like, it's a real simple thing, and sometimes it can be really hard to see in real time, but whether you're watching a replay on a video, or maybe you've got the PVR on at home, or you're watching the game live, but you have the ability to pause it. When the puck moves from one spot to the next, and when it arrives at the next spot and that guy's shooting, pause it. And you tell me whether Mikko Koskinen is already there, whether he's set, and whether he's square facing that puck, or whether we see a lot of what we saw last year, which was late with the footwork, which led to, yeah, he would get there, but he wasn't square. He was never sort of both shoulders, chest facing the puck. There was always sort of, he would always, quite often to the glove side, and that's where, you know, like we talked about, if you're fading off to the glove side, your hands sort of get lost behind you, and you just, that's when pucks get through you or they leak under you. Anytime you lose squareness, that's when that happens. So if you want what to look for, watch the game with that in mind. When a goal goes in, go back and rewind it one or two passes before the shot or tip or whatever leads to a goal, and see if he's keeping up and he's able to beat each pass or get to each shot location or pass location set and primarily square. It's one thing to have your feet there. It's another thing to have your shoulders and your torso there and actually facing the puck. And to me, that was one of his biggest deficiencies last year. I know it's a focal point, and that's the easiest way to measure it. It's just it's not just when the puck goes by him. It's as it arrives to a new shooter. Is he there, and is he square? And if he's not, I think you'll see a lot of the same. But if he is, if you see improvements, my bet would be you'll be able to find those in the video by simply doing that, pausing it as it moves around the zone.
And if you see improvements there, I would just naturally assume that will correlate to improved numbers, specifically save percentage.
Yeah, overall, for sure, for sure. They and again, we're expecting, and it's too easy to tell whether it'll be true, but we're expecting an easier environment, no? In Edmonton, in terms of the amount of plays that moved east-west last year should be down this season under Dave Tippett. I don't know if that'll be immediate, I don't know if it'll be gradual, but certainly the track record in the history is that this should be a better defensive group. And it's real easy for me to talk about beating passes. It's really easy from my couch to pause it or going over video to pause it and watch a goaltender get behind. But there is a level of anticipation in this game. You can't just, you know, track with perfect mechanics and always beat the play. You have to be able to sort of trust what's happening in front of you. And when you're able to trust and guys are able to execute so that the options are limited and you're not trying to figure out that it could go to five different places at once, it gets a lot easier to beat those plays and be set and be square and be confident that you don't have to hedge or cheat or fade to one side because you're anticipating what's happening next. You're trusting what's in front of you instead.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us talking goal tending. Now, Eric Comrie comes in tonight with the Winnipeg Jets, and he's a guy you've been high on for quite some time, Kevin. He's now... Does he require waivers?
Yes, he does this year. The first year requires them.
Okay, so when you look at that, like, I haven't looked deep enough at other teams' depth charts, but let's say that the Jets waive him, right? Because they got to waive one of him or Brassois, it would seem. So
Oh, yeah, yeah. Brossoit will be the backup, yeah. And Eric will be on waivers, and that's a risk there. And he's on a two-way, too. So that's a risk they appear willing to take.
Do you see a team that might want to take him to be their backup, or is it a little too risky at this point?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Like, everybody sees guys that you could lose on waivers. Tristan Jarry is another name in Pittsburgh. The Penguins were, you know, open to trading him this summer because they feel they're going to lose him on waivers. But if you're a claiming team, you have to have a spot for him. You can't just claim Eric Comrie because you like him and you'd like him to be number three on your depth chart. If you're going to claim him, you got to put him in the NHL. To be honest, no. I think he gets through, no problem. And part of that is the projections, myself primarily, haven't quite been met. It's interesting. I had a goalie coach from another organization 3 years ago tell me that Eric Comrie could go to the NHL and be the best goalie in the league along the ice. His lateral movement is exceptional. And yeah, here we are 3 years later, and he's not there on a full-time basis. And a lot of it is exposure up top, high shots, not a big goalie. But he really just he hasn't gotten a chance. And so if you're a team that looks at that potential, I think you have to be a rebuilding team, a team that's willing to live with a little bit of growing pains with a young goaltender in the early going. I still do believe that that's there in him. He is, like I said, exceptional in his lateral movement. You talk about arriving set and square and beating plays. Few do it as well as Eric Comrie. And along the ice, in terms of seal and lateral movement and bang-bang plays, he gets there. And he usually gets there without having to sell the farmer or sprawl. He's just really efficient in his movements. And the problem is he just hasn't had a chance. I don't think he's getting that chance in Winnipeg. This is the interesting juxtaposition. I don't think their head coach believes he's big enough to play in the NHL. Mm. And I think some of that's maybe crept into his game. So do I think a team's going to take a chance on Eric Comrie off waivers? I kind of doubt it, to be honest with you. Do I think a team that, you know, maybe isn't in a win-now mentality could look really good for doing it? Yeah, absolutely. I look at a team like the Ottawa Senators who've got, they're committed to two goalies in Anders Nilsson and Craig Anderson, and I wonder, given what's going to happen there this year, why the hell you wouldn't take a shot on a guy like Eric Comrie. But instead, they go and they re-sign Anders Nilsson, and they've got two veterans locked up. So I scratch my head on the decisions of a number of teams. And I know not everyone in terms of the goalie coaching community around the NHL believes in Comrie's upside at the next level. That they wonder if kind of he is what he is right now. But I still think he's a guy who has enough tools and enough technique to, at the minimum, be a UC Saros type in the National Hockey League if he were to have that opportunity. Problem for Eric is he gets in there once a year, twice a year, and he puts so much pressure on himself, I believe, to perform in those one or two opportunities. It's usually behind a team that's playing back-to-backs or like tonight. I mean, they are the Winnipeg Jets in name only if you look at that roster, and those that's sort of typical of the types of opportunities he's had to date.
Yeah, and it's usually on the road. That's how it is for the first preseason game. It doesn't matter who it is. Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Now, Kevin, the one team when I look at goaltending depth, I don't know how high they are on Dell or low they are in Dell, but I'm guessing the San Jose Sharks are going to be closely watching teams and who they might put on waivers. You know, you mentioned Comrie. You've got Louis Domingue in Tampa Bay, I think, is an obvious one. Maybe even Tristan Jarry in Pittsburgh. Is there any other names you see as possibilities to hit the waiver wire?
Well, those are the obvious ones. And Domingue is a guy who, you know, it's pretty open. He's been available for trade all summer. Jari's another one. Be interesting to see if Toronto risks putting a guy like Michael Hutchinson, who was desired, Florida signed him to a $650,000 contract last year, and kind of really like the idea of having him in their organization, but he's not locked in as a number two. I don't know that the Leafs would risk putting him on waivers, but he's another guy the teams might have their eye on. Dell's an interesting one because right now Pete DeBoer's, you know, kind of he said we've seen what he can do, but now he needs to do it. He's coming off a down season. They clearly feel they need, like a lot of teams, to not ride their number one as much as they had to Martin Jones last year, and his numbers slipped too. I just get the sense, and it was pretty evident with the way they played them down the stretch last year, that there is a loss of faith from the coaching staff in Arundel. And, you know, I liked his game 2 years ago. He struggled last season. And I just, they're a team that, yeah, absolutely. I think they will be looking. I look around at those other names. Garrett Sparks is another one. Vegas has come out and said quite clearly that Malcolm Subban is their backup, so Garrett Sparks will have to go on waivers to get sent down to the minor leagues, barring an injury there. I just, as much as San Jose seems to have lost faith in Arundel, I'm not sure the options are enough. There's enough upside for them to make a move like that and to send him down to the minor leagues because he is on a one-way contract.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Now, what about the importance of timing to get through goalies on waivers, right? Like the Toronto Maple Leafs probably waited too long last year and ended up losing both, right? Now, Neuwirth already is being hurt for the Leafs, so they probably can't afford to waive Hutchinson right now. Can you talk about the timing of waivers?
Well, it's interesting because you're going to see a couple of guys. So the first day that guys can be put on waivers is 12 days before the season starts. So this year, that's September 21st. That's this Saturday. And you're going to see some of the names we talked about on waivers right away, including Louis Domingue and Mike Condon. Mike Condon's a bit of a reclamation project in terms of coming off an injury. Ottawa dumped his salary to Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay is willing to sort of let him try and find his game in the minor leagues. But both Condon and Domingue will be among the first on waivers on the 21st. Matter of fact, they're not even getting regular reps in training camp. They're kind of being treated, like they're being put in bubble wrap because the Lightning's cap situation doesn't allow them to risk an injury. They can't afford either one of these guys to get hurt in a preseason game or even in a training camp scrimmage because then they would have to claim their entire salary at the NHL level. So those guys will, even though Domingue is a guy that, hey, if you really wanted to get rid of him, Tampa Bay, wait till the end of training camp and put them on waivers. Maybe somebody's gotten hurt by then. But just because of the salary cap ramifications, both Domingue and Condon will be on waivers as soon as the waivers open up on Saturday, September 21st. So that's an important day. If you want to get a guy down, it's sooner rather than later. And the mistake that Toronto made was assuming that if they sent both guys down, we're obviously talking about Picard and Curtis McElhinney last year. If you send them both down late, you're going to get one through. Well, the reality is by waiting so long, two teams ran into injury problems in the preseason, and they ended up losing both. If you really just want to get a guy to the minors and you're not worried about pissing him or his agent off because he's not going to get opportunities, you do it early. Well, other teams are still confident or still see all the upside in their guys before they've run into any injury troubles. Again, I'll be curious if the Leafs, with Neuwirth missing practice today, that's the problem. To me, if you're the Leafs, unless you have another option, you absolutely cannot waive Michael Hutchinson and risk losing him because you cannot count on Michael Neuwirth. He's a good goalie. I really believe that. But he can't stay healthy. Couldn't stay healthy in Philadelphia. He's already missing time at training camp. And it just sort of puts an exclamation point on the fact that you can't count on him. And that's the number one thing you need to have in a backup. So if you want to get a guy down early, or if you want to get a guy down, you send him down early. You take a look at a guy like Comrie. If Winnipeg was really worried about losing him, or if Pittsburgh was really worried about losing Christian Jarry, they just demote him before anybody else had a chance to, like I said, get hurt or have some uncertainty creep up about their own situation. But usually with young guys like that, they're looking for opportunities too, and you can really sour a guy if you're not going to give him any opportunity during the preseason. Of course, you also got to get through the preseason, and sometimes that means giving a guy like that a start or two and maybe waiting a little longer than you like. But Toronto absolutely blew it. They apparently had their mind made up Sparks with the guy last year. And so keeping all three around as late as they did made absolutely no sense. And it totally bit them in the ass before it was done.
Kev, great stuff, man. We will have some preseason action to discuss next week. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm looking forward to actual hockey.